Welcome to the spoilery sensation that's sweeping the nation.
This is Spoiler Wars,
where TV and movies are fantasy sport.
What's up, nerds? Welcome to Spoiler Wars. We are here to discuss The Boys, Season 3, Episode 6, Herogasm. My name is Mason Fields. Joining me for the first time in more than 2 months, Lolly and Justin are back, everybody!
Oh my gosh, has it been that long?
Has it really been more than 2 months?
It was our Moon Knight mid-season. That was our penultimate episode. Shit. Yeah, I went back and looked. It was like April 15th.
Oh my gosh. Well, audience, a couple things have changed.
Couple things. He is now legally my spoiler bro.
Yeah, that's right. We got married. What?
The long-awaited wedding that was announced on these airwaves over a year ago now has finally come to pass.
Not quite a year.
Didn't we announce it over a year ago?
No, I proposed.
Oh, we got engaged July 7th.
July 7th.
Okay, so a year next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, almost. So we're still playing catch up here on Spoiler Wars with this deluge of content that is dropping this summer. Tonight we are going to do our best to get all caught up with Season 3 of The Boys, now streaming on Amazon Prime. We are talking Episode 6, but this is your one and only spoiler warning for all episodes of The Boys to date. But first, a programming reminder, our Spoiler Wars preview for Thor Love and Thunder drops right here on this feed this Friday, July 1st, including the return of our Spoiler Wars theories draft. I am very excited.
Let's go.
Pumped.
You're going to lose.
What?
That's right, Mrs. Machado.
Oh, whatever. You're going down.
I haven't told y'all this yet. I think we're going to draft and we're gonna try the playing positions kind of thing. So you'll have to play a how did Mjolnir get reassembled theory. You'll have to play a somebody dies theory.
New
twist, a new twist on it.
I have some homework to do.
Well, watch the trailers, certainly. But I wouldn't stress out too much about it. All right. Then on Monday, a little July 4th present, our review of the penultimate episode of this season of The Boys for Episode 7. And then next Friday, July 8th, our full spoilers review of Thor, Love and Thunder. Stay tuned, folks. It's going to be a fun couple of weeks. And of course, please, right now, if you are listening on iTunes, scroll down to the bottom of the show page, rate and review. It's free. It takes 5 seconds. That's all I will ever ask of you, dear listeners. Help us get those numbers up. Subscribe if you haven't already. All right. Lolly and Justin, you're back. I've been prodding you to kind of get caught up on The Boys. Lolly, correct me if I'm wrong. You had seen the first two seasons,
yeah.
But we're going back, like me, you know, it'd been basically 2.5 years since the last season came out, and it was kind of that show's coming back that I like, but I can't really remember what happened last time. Is that kind of where you are with it as well?
Oh, yeah. I remember really liking the first season, and then I kind of, I got lost, I guess, forgot about it, and then went back, and I was like, man, I love this show, but it's so fucking gory.
It is, which is part of what I quite love about it. Yeah. That sort of Deadpool, superhero Deadpool type stuff. The violence, the gore.
Well, what's good about the gore is that it's not paired with horror, so
yeah,
it's like
I'm not
a funny
scared.
Gore.
Yeah,
and me having to cringe and close one eye while I watch somebody just rip a face off. I mean, that's.
Yeah, intense. We literally saw someone peel someone's face off.
Yeah, Kimiko.
Kimiko when she does the, I love that.
Yeah.
But killing it's just people with dildos.
Yes. It's just that right amount of gore. Sam Raimi just popped into my mind, not in relation to Multiverse of Madness, but the Evil Dead trilogy where it's like it's gory but in a comedic way, really. Like you can't take it seriously. So yeah, you might go, ooh, ah shit, damn, when the top half of somebody's head slides off or something. But you're not like at least not really for the most part.
You can't really say Sam Raimi right now without just being like, yeah, shut the fuck up.
I'm so sensitive.
I'm over it.
Fuck
I'm
that
not,
guy.
Fuck that guy. I would have thought the second that The Multiverse of Madness dropped on Disney Plus, I would have watched it. And I'm just like, no.
I hadn't yet either.
I'm going to end up watching it the next week and just see, like, it wasn't that bad, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Maybe we'll feel differently about that one. Justin, you had seen at least some of The Boys at some point, but had kind of forgotten you'd seen it. I was showing you some season 2 episodes, and you were like, wait, I think Maybe I did see this.
So when we, so I remember all of season one, and I remember when season two dropped, I could have swore I only watched two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And after rewatching it with Lollipod, I realized I watched six of them.
So you just didn't finish the season?
I just didn't finish the season. It was only, I think, eight episodes, yeah. And I, no joke, watched six of them because I was like, oh shit, this, I know what this happens. And Lolly goes, seriously? You're going to spoil it for me? Of all people, you would hate that. And I was like, oh shit, might be.
Sorry.
But yeah, I watched like six episodes.
I'm curious what made you stop watching after six and not finish the season. Were you like, oh, I thought the season was over. I didn't realize there were two more episodes.
No, I just didn't. In the second season, I just didn't like the Stormfront angle.
Mm.
That plot line, I know, I mean, it's the main plot line, but it just didn't do anything for me.
I
thought it was kind of dumb.
I like the actress, Aya Cash. She was in that.
Yeah,
I
love her.
What was that FX comedy she was on?
Oh, it was so good.
I'm blanking on it.
Like,
right.
I hate you. Or something.
Yeah, I was about to say something I hate like you. That. I something.
What's her name?
Aya Cash. Good actress. I think once in the final couple episodes of that season, when she's like full Nazi, it's like, whoa, okay, this is where we're going. All right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. This show has come up a couple of times on our Kenobi podcasts here recently.
You're the worst?
Yes.
You're the worst.
You're the worst.
Like, yeah.
I hate you.
I hate you.
Close enough.
That's usually what precedes you're the worst.
Or follows, either way. Yeah. But no, on our Kenobi pods, I've talked about, you know, overall, I think Kenobi is an inferior show to The Boys, but I still looked forward, now that we're past the season, I looked forward more to the drop of the Kenobi episodes each week, even though I would say The Boys is just a superior show, better written, better shot, mm-hmm. and I much prefer their release method as well.
Is it strictly, how much is length of episode put into yours?
That's a big part of it. That's what I've been griping about with Kenobi, and really for the Marvel shows too, man, these 28-minute episodes, these 32-minute episodes, really 28 to 32 minutes of new content each week.
And about 15 minutes of credit?
It's just kind of bullshit. Yeah. I mean, it's basically 10 minutes of credits. You're like, oh, it's a 38-minute episode, so I'm getting 28 minutes of new stuff this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. Like, from the moment I turn on the show, I'm like, it's almost over. Hurry up. Do something. Yeah. You know,
I'm not going to get what I want out of this.
Yeah, I'm almost like afraid to get into it because then it's just going to be over.
Because at that point, six 20-minute episodes, just do a 2-hour movie.
Yes, which has been some of my principal criticisms mm-hmm. of Kenobi as well. It's just interesting in this age of IP where it's like, well, yeah, I think The Boys may be the best thing on TV right now, but I'm still more excited to spend time with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader every week because I've known those guys for, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
Interesting in this age of IP too with The Boys because we've just in the last year doing this podcast especially, we've gotten so used to the, like, when's the next show in this universe, whether it's Marvel or Star Wars? It's like, okay, well, the next thing's coming in a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that The Boys universe is, yes, they did a kind of a little spinoff cartoon, but it's just this
the
show.
Boys, yeah.
And so until it's on next, it's like, all right, see you in a year. That time span feels a lot bigger than it used to when even just a few years ago when we were waiting a year, 2 years for Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah.
So it's just, I just think it's, I'm starting to notice how much the streaming era we're in is already sort of changing my viewing habits and my expectations with a lot of this stuff. Basically been about 2 years since the last season.
Why such a long time?
Pandemic.
Yeah, COVID kind of happened.
What's that? Never heard of her.
Oh, you should recognize it from the three times I had it.
Yeah, I missed that first. I don't know about the second, but that third one.
But I definitely prefer Amazon's 8-episode model, closer to hour-long episodes each week.
Like legit hour-long
episodes. Which, I mean, I'd be happy with 48, 52 minutes, but some of these are like an hour five.
Yeah.
You know? Damn. Hardly any credits.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I also like how Amazon, I think this is my favorite sort of model for this, that, you know, part of the discussion of how should things be consumed? Should you drop them all at once so you can binge it? Should you go week to week? Yeah. I really like how they do the first three episodes and then week to week. So it kind of gives you enough right off the bat to get your hooks in you, which, you know, say what you will about some of the lesser Marvel shows. I think I probably would have been higher on a lot of them if, you know, it wasn't this like, all right, well, we got 37 minutes of a premiere this week for Moon Knight. Like,
mm-hmm. Moon Knight would have helped with next week. WandaVision would have hit even harder because that third episode was really
interesting. They should have dropped the third for sure.
And then Falcon and Winter Soldier wouldn't have helped. Loki, that would have helped, I think, a little bit.
I think it would.
But you can't drop three episodes and it only be a six episode thing.
Right.
You know, you got to drop three episodes and it be an eight episode.
Right.
Because you still have that 6 weeks of, because I do think 6 weeks of the show is.
That's a good run.
It's a good run. I like it. That'll get you a good season.
Yeah.
But this whole six episodes that are 30 minutes, and I'm more of the, I like the 20 minute episodes on certain shows because it, you know, with 20 minute episodes, you can move the plot.
Yeah.
But,
You
don't move it enough in something that you want, and it's pretty much in a non-sitcom. You really need
right.
an hour episode,
right?
Yeah,
you know, sitcom such a just kind of mm-hmm. throw it on. It's there.
Yeah,
maybe I catch a couple last, but you're not like, all right, this week I need X, mm-hmm. Y, and Z to happen in this 30 minutes. Yeah,
yeah.
So I don't know. Just been a lot of debate about that, especially going back to the drop of Stranger Things recently. I'm actually coming around to the, I prefer to binge things when possible. But I understand obviously why they don't do that, because even with something as big as Stranger Things, it's kind of come and gone. There's no cultural conversation around it.
No, the binging. That's why if you get 6 weeks of you, of somebody talking of everyone talking about your show, I think that's perfect.
But I think there's so much content right now that it really has to be quality to rise to the level of anybody talking about it at all. So
Justin makes comments about my watching all the time because he's like, do you ever just watch one show? I'm like, no, I have 20 that I'm watching at one time.
Trying to keep up.
Because it depends on what mood I'm in. Yeah. And also, I'm the kind of person that, like, I know I'm getting to the end, so I'll kind of slow down
because
I
want to
savor it.
Yeah.
It's like,
no,
like, sometimes watching The Great.
Sometimes she'll slow down and not finish it.
That's exactly what happened with The Great, with the second season of The Great. I was like, oh, this is so good, and I don't have a show like this. And then, like, I slowed down, and then I kind of forgot that it was there. And I came back, and I finished it, and I was like, oh, that was really good.
You did the same thing with the last season of The Crown, and it drove me crazy. Because I'm just like, will you please catch up so we can talk about this?
Yeah. No, it's because I'm more of a, I want to push through as many storylines and plots.
Yeah.
So, I know it's going to be over soon, and I'll be sad.
I only want to watch two or three shows. It's it at one time. Finish them, and then go to the next
one. I'm probably more that way just because my imagination sort of gets locked into the universe. Mm-hmm. So if there's Marvel or Star Wars stuff going on, you know, it's hard for me to be like, okay, I'm going to watch Barry. And I love Barry. You know, Bill Hader, I think it's one of the best things on TV right now. But that's a perfect example as well. Even that, I'd never seen it. I binged the first two seasons at the start of the pandemic, mm-hmm. but then trying to consume that 25 minutes a week was like, is this, I mean, it's well made, but I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So anyway, that's our sort of a preamble on how we are consuming this stuff these days. It's actually become sort of a standard part of our conversations lately. I'm just fascinated by this dispute because obviously we're sort of living in a new age with all this stuff. I'm just fascinated to see how long it actually lasts. You know, stuff like, you know, Netflix just recently reported their first quarterly subscriber loss. Mm-hmm. Recently, and all the other companies have basically been chasing Netflix for the last 3 or 5 years, and then I think that loss makes them go, oh shit, maybe this isn't a sustainable long-term model.
No, they should actually look at it to say, maybe you should update your shit.
Yeah.
It's 100% their collection. They didn't, Netflix is the best viewing platform,
Yeah, it's got the best interface.
Interface by far wins.
But the collection of TV shows and movies are
the
worst.
It's garbage.
And are the worst now. They used to be the best, but now everyone's been poached. All their goods have been poached.
And none of the originals that they're making, I think really with the exception of Stranger Things, you know, not much is really, not really stuck. I mean, you've had big stuff like Squid Game and Tiger King. They're these kind of weird little fluky things, but they haven't found IP that's really working for
them. No, they have not. And they, I mean,
granted, I do love their docuseries, though.
And it's good
okay,
for that.
It's okay, but...
But I think
there's not anything you're always look outside of Stranger Things. You're not looking forward to anything like, oh, we got this new release.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever talking about it.
Yeah. Buy Netflix stuff. All right. Well, I think Amazon is on to one of their bigger sort of buy-ins on IP with this stuff, which is, of course, The Boys. You can definitely feel the budget on this show has gone up considerably. That was one of my gripes. The first season, kind of a slow burn, not as many kind of big action set pieces, that kind of stuff. Going into the second season, they increased the budget a little bit, but Amazon was still kind of controlling the reins. And then after they got Emmy nominated for the second season, they were basically told Eric Kripke, the showrunner, do what you want to do.
Hey, you earned it.
You earned it.
Make this shit crazy.
Which, of course, I'm not a reader of the original comics on this. It's a very graphic, raunchy comic as well.
Ooh.
I think a lot of, I mean, in a more overtly disgusting way. I think Huey goes down on Starlight when she's having her period at one point and that kind of stuff.
That's
where it's just a little much. But
some people like that.
Some people are into that sort of thing. We'll get into that later in this episode. I think there's some of that going on.
Hashtag herogasm.
Oh, yes. Good. We're going to have a really fun conversation with me, my husband, and my brother.
Hey, it's a family show.
Yeah.
Just not suitable for families, but by a family of perverts, basically. So just to kind of catch us up on the season quickly, the season picks up a year after the last ended. Hugh's been working for Vicki Newman at the Federal Bureau of Superhuman Affairs and is kind of running Butcher and the team. Seems like life is pretty good. Starlight's sleeping over regularly. He's still a little bit insecure that she has to open his, you know, jam jars or peanut butter or whatever for him. But otherwise,
overall, he's happy as a clam. Yeah. He's like, I'm a superstar.
And he is.
He should be able to open up a jar of pickles.
It was jam.
He should be able to open up a jar.
I mean,
jam.
Sometimes it sticks, but when it's a recurring thing, it's like, all right, Huey, what's your deal here, man?
What's that? What's that little thing that you can use to strengthen your grip? You know,
The little squeezy thing.
Yeah.
He needs that.
Maybe
or
do
just,
that just
or
a
do
little
stuff
bit.
With ropes that you can just.
Yeah.
Ravel up.
Which I think is also funny this season, but, you know, particularly the first season, you know, Jack Quaid was cast as kind of this, you know, scrawny, nerdy kid. But you can tell he's been in the gym quite a bit the last season. So when he's, you know, he's naked half the season and he's, you know, he's in good shape, you're like, this guy can't open a peanut butter jar? Okay, well, it's for the story.
Have to say with, like, he is the perfect combination of his parents.
Yes.
I have never seen that before. It's like he's the actual real life version of that software that they use to morph
where
two
it just
people.
Morphs them, yeah.
What your kid is going to look like. I mean, he looks exactly half and half of his parents.
See, for me, he's like most of the time he's 90% Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
But then he'll give this expression that is 100% Meg Ryan.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I would love to hear what
Justin doesn't know who
these people are.
Do you not know who Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan are?
Does this look like a face who does?
Once he sees them, he'll be like, oh, them. Okay.
Yeah,
I got it.
He very much looks like the perfect combination of his parents. I've never seen that before in anybody.
I will say he's grown on me.
That's Dennis Quaid, dude. That's the dad in
Parent Trap. Yes. See, isn't it crazy how he recognizes different actors?
I forgot how fucking random some of your references are.
Hold on.
Meg Ryan is You've Got Mail.
Sleepless in Seattle, you know, all that stuff. I will say I think Jack Quaid has gotten a lot
better.
She
wasn't in The Boys, right?
No.
You're thinking of Elizabeth Shue, probably, from season one. Another 80s icon.
I feel like Meg Ryan's had some work done.
She certainly has. Yeah. Yes.
Not in a good way.
No. But I think he's gotten a lot better, both just as an actor and as a character. I'm much more. I found Huey kind of annoying the first season and a half or so.
Yeah. He's grown up.
He really has, and I really love what they're doing with him this season. But aside from the storylines that we'll get into, I really feel like Jack Quaid stepped it up a little bit. I've not seen him in anything else. I know he was in the recent Scream 30 or whatever it was.
I did not see that.
So I didn't see that one.
I don't watch Scream because it makes me scream.
Well, it's working. So how do you guys feel about where this season picked up? I mean that in terms of it picks up in a seemingly a very different place from where the last season ended.
A lot has changed.
But very quickly, I feel like we're kind of back in status quo from previous seasons. How do you feel about that?
I mean, that's classic. Like, that's classic opening season. Oh, everything's different. We all love each other. Oh, fuck you. Blah, blah, blah. We're having a great time. One episode in. Oh, let's go kill the suits.
I mean, it's literally the finale, I think, when Huey discovers Victoria Newman is the head popper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he basically goes right back to Butcher. Yeah. Like, thought I could do this for... So we're back, you know, we have one episode in this different world.
And then it went to... I'm never going to communicate with Starlight. And then...
I think one big
looks like
issue,
they're trying to learn how to communicate.
One issue that you had while we were watching it was the whole... Butcher and his dad thing that he went off on.
I completely forgotten about that from last season.
And it didn't really connect.
That was just like, why they did, like, what was the point of that?
So they kind of bring it up again throughout this season, and it's like, I don't think that was as much of a hit as you guys.
I mean, you brought up that issue. Well, we didn't even, that could have been out, not even out, that could have been out. Obviously, and it'd still be okay.
They're trying to tie it into something with, you know, Ryan Homelander's kid. You know, he's apparently been playing kind of stepdad to him at the start of the season, but then in, I guess, episode two, he does the, you know, I don't care about you kind of thing. Right. Obviously, you know, I'm going to push you away so that I, you know, you don't get hurt. I don't hurt you, all that kind of stuff. But I think all the Butcher fatherhood arc is going to come back around later this season. I've not personally been missing Ryan very much. I think this is a recurring bit on any show that has, you know, young kids in it, where I'm just like,
his voice got younger, but his body got older.
Yeah.
And so he's playing, like, he looks very much like he's grown up, but
he's still trying to play.
Sounds 10. Like he's six.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely casted weird. I don't think the age is correct. But between his personality, what he looks like, and more or less how he talks, none of it matches.
Kid, you know, finding good kid actors is a tough deal.
I mean, I could play someone who's 10.
God. With those hands, you could.
Yeah. I'll just shave my beard. You guys wouldn't even know me.
Oh, that's true.
But yeah, in general, I would encourage all showrunners to avoid leaving kids out of your shows as much as possible. Now, I say that in relation to Kenobi, when the first two episodes of Kenobi dropped, and I was like, God damn it. You know, yeah, there's a 10-year-old Princess Leia.
Mm-hmm. I liked Leia.
By the end of the season, I mean,
it's,
I told the guys,
fucking Miss Marvel.
I was weeping at young Leia. So it can work. So, you know, I don't want to be too hard on Ryan.
But I think that when you're a rated R... Oh, sorry. When you're rated R and you have graphic nudity, you have a episode title called Hero Gasm.
Not the one to put kids in. No.
Nope. And also, if you are, that kid better be fucking badass cussing at everybody.
Yes.
You know, like, okay, this guy can handle himself.
I enjoyed the end of season two when Ryan shows his powers and basically kills Stormfront and his mom, in the process. Heartbreaking, but I'm eager for the day that it seemed like they were building him the last two seasons as the challenge to Homelander, but this season we've got other ideas. But for the most part, the season hit the ground running. You know, there's obviously been big gory shit in this series before, but 10 minutes into the premiere episode of this season, and you've got this universe's Ant-Man equivalent, Termite, crawling into a man's urethra and blowing him in half when he sneezes and resizes. They basically did the Thanos, Ant-Man up Thanos' butt thing
Yeah.
Just took it to another level.
That I just.
I seemed it. Like, I saw it coming.
Oh, the first time he kind of.
Yeah, yeah, you did.
Sneezed, yeah.
And then he's like, oh, yeah, and goes into his pee hole. Oh, like, oh, no, he's going to go full size.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember. It was going in there for pleasure, right?
Yes. Yeah. And the guy was like, get to the prostate, get to the prostate. Which I just want to say, as someone who's dealt with a kidney stone recently, I don't care if it's going in or coming out the urethra. That, I don't think, is a pleasant sensation. So.
He looked like he enjoyed it when he was rubbing up against the wall.
How he was running down, very weird.
Very strange.
How many takes did that take? Because I feel like I'd be laughing.
Oh,
I'm like, I'm in his penis. Like when they're videoing me, just brushing the sides of the
I think
the
it was
shaft.
It was the guy, the actor, completely on a green screen, but I wish they'd built a full set for him. Yeah. That'd be like, you know, I'm in the dick. Let's talk about Homelander a little bit. I enjoyed the where the season started with Homelander kind of in check by where they left him last season. They've got the video
on the apology
plane.
Tour.
Yeah, but he's depressed, you know, the deep is getting the prime slots on the daytime talk shows, and he's following, and he's just like, what the fuck? I really loved in the first two episodes every time that Stan Edgar puts him in his place, and it's basically, you're just bad product, you know, and you see him kind of melt with that. I thought that was all really done well.
Does Homelander always look like he has two dips in?
Anthony Starr has interesting lips, and it manifests in interesting ways, especially in this episode where he's kind of having a conversation to himself, but it makes him look that much crazier. And that like bad dye job blonde hair is so perfect. I think Anthony Starr is killing it. I don't know how he's not been a bigger breakout from this show. Last year I went back and watched the Cinemax series that he was on, Banshee, and I thought he was really good on that as well. But I mean, I think the stuff he's doing with Homelander, he's basically a villain most of the time, but then he still manages to have moments where you're like, am I feeling for Homelander? What's wrong with me? You know?
For sure.
So I think he's doing an amazing job with it. Eager to see where all that goes. All right. So pretty quickly, we're back to sort of status quo Homelander, even possibly Homelander worse than ever when he sort of flips the script on Stan.
He realizes he's untouchable.
Well, once he gets Stan Edgar out of the way, once he makes the deal with Victoria Newman to get him out of the way, and they like make him CEO basically.
Yeah.
Though I love him coming into those boardroom scenes, and like he doesn't even speak the language of, you know, business and stuff.
When he starts trying to say EBITDA.
Yes. Yes, exactly. He is just totally lost with all of that. But I'm interested. I wonder how long the series can keep Homelander in play here. You know what I mean? I feel like this season we really are reaching the, like, you've either got to kill him or depower him.
Yeah.
You can't just kind of keep going with, you know, most powerful man in the world, the threat that, you know, we can never seem to deal with. Would y'all agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Something
has to happen with him.
There's got to be some type of arc, some big bad, and I don't know if it's Soulja Boy, or
God.
What?
Justin, the whole time we were watching, he's like, Soulja Boy, and I'm like, it's Soulja Boy.
And nobody can say it without saying Soulja Boy. It's just what it is at
Soulja
this point.
Soulja Boy, honey. Oh,
but yeah. I think the most compelling arc for Homelander is not he gets his head ripped off at the end of the season. I think it's much more compelling if Soulja Boy's, you know, we've seen Soulja Boy's little chest blast is depowered.
Takes
Kimiko.
His powers away.
Let's see what that guy's like without powers.
Yeah. What is he like as a normal human being?
He's never experienced that.
Is lesser than.
Yeah. So I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to take his powers away, and season four is about him trying to get his powers back.
I think that's much more compelling than like, hey, we just defeated him at the end of the season.
And the ironic part is Huey and Butcher are going to like him.
They could come back around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've enjoyed the Butcher Homelander, you know, when Homelander shows up at Butcher's apartment and they have that little conversation, and that connects to this episode when he's like, William, I thought we had a deal. You know, this was our fight to the death. You're cheating by bringing this guy in. There's this weird kind of
respect.
yeah, respect, honor among shitheads or something, mm-hmm. you know? I just like the parallel with that. Interesting to see where that's going to go. I think one of the best things about this show is that it is very topical, obviously, by intention.
Yeah.
But it is so good at roasting both the right and the left yes. at the same time.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, Homelander comes out and basically gives his big QAnon speech about how, you know, I
was just waiting for him to say fake news.
I mean, basically.
But he did yeah. without saying the words.
Yeah. And the whole, like, there are people in charge that you don't know about that are running this thing, the whole conspiracy theory stuff. But at the same time, they're doing the A-Train, basically making fun of the Kylie Jenner Pepsi commercial.
Yes.
You yes. know, that kind of
they
stuff.
They did, like, oh my God, they did almost an exact replica of yeah. that commercial.
And the Imagine video this week was, you know, so it's like equal opportunity lambast, which is like, I mean, especially in these fairly troubled political times we're living in.
Oh, my God, I know.
Something like this that can point out how ridiculous both the extremes of both sides yes. are is just priceless. So that's one of my favorite things about the show right now. Anything to talk about before we get into this episode?
Yeah, let's talk about – yeah, I got two things.
You jumped right in there. Right.
We said, do you have anything to talk
jump
about?
Jump in
yes. I know.
We haven't even talked about Butcher – and Huey are just shooting themselves up with some 24-hour Compound V.
Yes, I think this is a very interesting storyline.
And
the way that they do it.
Yes.
Is especially like in episode 6, it was very, you see him tying off for the first time. So it's very overtly that the sort of drug use. This is fucking you up.
Yeah, definitely. Or I would think, I would be thinking, can I get this permit? If you like it that much, can I get this permit? Yeah. Like, why are we shooting it up anytime you want it? And I also
because it goes against what they're fighting for.
Yeah. 100%. It's hypocritical. I think it's funny.
I think Butcher has embraced the hypocrisy of like, this is just what I got to do to do this.
And then,
but Huey
likes
Huey's
it.
Hooked.
Well, I mean, yeah. Starlight called him out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You and loved it. He was like, I really did.
I mean, from that first scene in the, I can't remember which episode it is, but it's when they're breaking Soldier Boy out. Mm-hmm. And it's the first time Huey does it. And then they're driving away. Kamiko's like dying in the back, but Huey's
and
just
he's like,
watching
his arm.
He's
heal.
Rolling balls, basically.
Yeah. He's watching the stuff in his arm and he's just like so excited. It's like, what is wrong with you? One of your team members is dying behind you. It just shows what a drug being. Yeah. Powerful is
100%.
Yeah, 100%. And it's turning him into a person that Starlight doesn't like.
Yeah. He's when you get all of that power, you become like you don't care about the same stuff anymore.
Which is why they hate the Supes in the first mm-hmm. place. But, you know, they're still telling themselves it's just for the mission mm-hmm. and then we'll quit. You know, that's every drug addict ever.
Pretty sure it's coming soon that Huey can't quit.
Yeah, yes. And we did in this episode as well, real small moment, but he has this, like, goo coming out of his ears when he's in the mm-hmm. hotel with Soldier Boy, and there's this, like, black sludge in his ear. I think this stuff's got, you know, not just a bad hangover, but some...
I think it's going to be some toxic,
pretty hardcore side effects.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And I...
And let's not forget, that stuff comes from Vought, too. So who the fuck knows what their motives is about, you know, putting it out there and that kind of stuff.
So Homelander's getting it, correct?
Maeve was the one that was giving it to, giving it to Butcher. Well, just Vought. She's stealing it from Vought Tower. But important to note, in a couple episodes back, after Homelander has gotten Edgar out, made the deal with Newman, then Homelander shows up at Newman's with, it's not like he gives her the real deal, not the V24, but the real shit that she gives her daughter.
OG. Yeah. He said with all 11
original
herbs and spices.
And I took that KFC. Sort of as not necessarily just the straight up Compound V, but like, this is my mixture. This is what made me. Yeah. Like, this is the good stuff, you know.
This is the correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, man, that was just horrifying seeing her give that to her daughter. And
I don't understand.
I don't either. So let's just hit on a couple other characters really quick. What do y'all think about the Deep and his little post-Scientology book tour? I love the Deep. You know, he's a deplorable character. But I love what Chase Crawford does with the character. And it's just so, I don't know.
You just walk away with that feeling of like, oh, deep.
Yeah, just, oh, you fucking moron.
Oh, my gosh. You guys just fucking an octopus.
When
we're not there.
Oh, that was this past episode?
Yeah.
You know, binging five episodes was kind of difficult. I don't remember which one is. Well, I was thinking about this. He was looking at the octopus while fucking his girlfriend.
Exactly. And then Homelander makes him eat the octopus in the next episode.
That was the part that I could not watch.
That was a little bit...
I could not watch it.
I still don't understand. And that's a storyline I'm interested in. And who the fuck is this girlfriend? And why is she... She's
running him. She is running
him. Or his wife.
The church set him up with
her. I know that, but there's an ulterior motive with her because she is like...
She wants power.
I think she's, just power hungry, star fucking, all that kind of stuff.
She wants Deep to be the head of the Seven so she can be the wife of the head of the Seven.
But now the Deep is basically Homelander's bitch on the team and thus the making him eat his friend Teddy or whatever he called the octopus.
Timothy.
And I just lost it where he's like, he's praying. He's praying for his life as you're eating them. First of all, can we cut the guy up into some smaller pieces? But he found a new friend this episode, so I think he's over it. What about A-Train? I got to say, I found A-Train not the most compelling character through the first couple of seasons. Not been in love with the actor, really, though. I think he stepped it up a little bit this year. He has the whole thing where he's putting on some weight because he can't run because his heart might explode.
I can see your girdle. That's what a Homelander told him.
Yes. I just love Homelander shitting on him. And he's drinking his Shake Shack or whatever. And then he tries this whole rebrand with his African roots, including a Middle Passage video
game. Oh, my God.
See, this is the roasting.
And Ashley goes, you want a video game of the slave trade?
Exactly. But I love, it's part of that roasting both sides because Ashley's the one that's like, Black Lives Matter is my favorite hashtag. My Insta is nothing but black squares. That performative wokeness that is there. And then, of course, he's got this whole issue with Blue Hawk that is starting to sort itself out. But it was actually nice to see one of the seven actually coming around.
Realizing he said, I'm sorry. Can do good.
Yeah.
And...
I was actually kind of bummed we'll go ahead and hit it now. I was actually bummed in Herogasm when Huey's feeling strong until he confronts A-Train and A-Train actually breaks. And it's like, I'm sorry, man, this is fucked up.
Got teary-eyed. Yeah. And also I was thinking, that's incredible acting that you can bring those very real tears to your eyes surrounded by naked people doing freaky shit.
Yes.
Like you are in such an odd environment and the fact that you can still make that scene happen is good acting.
All the superpowers are CG, but the 10 naked people behind you
are all naked people.
It's very,
those are all titties.
Yeah, I shouldn't criticize the acting too much because if you pull that off, you're doing something right. Of course, we'll delve into Soldier Boy more this episode, but I like I just wanted to say, I think Mother's Milk, Laz Alonso is killing it this season.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Acting on another level with all the OCD and the trauma of it all. Mm-hmm.
None of them have actually stepped their game
they
up.
They really have.
They really.
I
haven't really thought about it just because I can't get past
some. Well, you watched them so fast.
And I watched it too fast. But now that we're talking about it, they've all done some pretty good job.
I think they've all stepped it up. And if you follow any of their social feeds, this cast really seems to love each other and love hanging out and love giving each other shit. Jensen Ackles has gotten in on it this season, but just the stuff that they post, they all seem to be having a blast making this show. Though I see a lot of stuff from Jack Quaid, basically every other episode he has to get covered in blood for some reason and it's all sticky and gross.
What a day at work.
All right, so let's dig into Herogasm. So there was a big publicity deal around this episode. This was the one that they were pushing. Actually, the makers of the show had sort of called this their Red Wedding episode. Now not in the like character deaths or anything, but just the, like, if we can get there and they'll actually let us do it, then we're doing something right. I was actually surprised based on all that it wasn't crazier than I thought it was going to be. I mean, yeah, superhero orgy, but all things considered, it was fairly tame. You know what I mean? Like, there's a giant love sausage floating around.
But that's normal.
I mean, for the boys.
Yeah.
It didn't seem as outlandish as the dildo fight 2 weeks ago.
I actually wanted to see some more powers having sex.
Yeah, like,
it was too much normal sex.
Yeah, they weren't really doing all that much crazy shit.
Termite was inside of her and then jumped out and became full size.
But we'd already seen that.
Jumped into MM. Or like
ran into him. Yeah,
got. And then he gets an onslaught of like that is an aggressive amount of semen.
For someone with OCD, I don't know how he would kept that as cool as he did.
That was a lot.
So was that love sausage or I don't know. They don't show us who was responsible for that.
No, that was somebody else.
How much semen do you think love sausage ejaculates?
I don't know. You know, we never see the balls, and that's what's really telling.
Yeah, I feel like it has nothing to do with his penis being so long or short.
Mm-hmm. I have some questions about how all that works, because it seems to be he's a shower, not a grower, I guess. You know, it's just always that long. You know, it's not like a Mr. Fantastic dick or anything. He just has full control of it.
No, did you see him? He's the same guy that was at what's it called?
The asylum.
The facility.
Yeah.
And it was to his knee.
Oh, it was. Okay. Yeah. So he can grow. Grows. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
So of course this episode starts.
It's a grower and a shower.
But yeah, he's a little bit of both. That's both. So it starts with the Imagine video, and I just wanted to touch on, I really love how this show is sort of mixing media. You know, we've got the Instagram feed at the end of it. We've got the YouTube video, Imagine. We get all these little sort of fake movie trailers. The season starts, you know, in media res inside this like Justice League with Charlize Theron playing Stormfront, that kind of thing. And then of course, last week we get a fucking musical. I just love that the show's like not restrained by its format. It's like
Seth Rogen on a sex site.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Completely forgot about that.
But all that, I just love how they're getting really creative with like how they shoot it, put it together. It works so well with the social media, you know, approval rating world that they've created here.
I feel like their Twitter needs to step their game up though.
The boys' Twitter?
Yeah.
Why? They're just not enough crazy shit for you?
Yeah, not enough. Like
that's what I'm telling you. Really follow Jack Quaid and some of those folks. They post all the good stuff. The actual boys' feed is fairly tame, all things considered. Did y'all notice this episode actually started with a disclaimer that was like, this episode is basically not suited for anyone, really, so you probably shouldn't watch it, you know, which is, you know, I hate to say sort of timely in that, like, every episode of Obi-Wan had a trigger warning because of, you know, school shooting, stuff like that. I actually thought it was sort of appropriate to sort of make fun of the, like, we're going to show you some stuff that might upset you, but we're legally okay because we put these little three lines of text up at the front of the episode. I mean, it's like they're even roasting the industry that they're in. I think all that's really well done. So Homelander realizes Soldier Boy is alive in a surveillance video. He tells Black Noir how much he appreciates his loyalty, and then Black Noir immediately gets in the elevator and cuts his tracking chip out of his arm.
Dude, that poor woman in the elevator. I mean, could you imagine?
Oh, man.
But I bet she's seen other crazy shit working in the tower. Right?
But still. Like,
he just right into his arm.
What do you do?
I just love how it just instant Homelander walks away. He gets in the elevator and it's just like out.
Yeah.
You know? Like, just go. It's my sound effects.
Politely hands it to her.
And she's just like, okay.
Thank you.
I think Black.
I'll take that with some HIV. Some hepatitis.
Yeah, who knows?
You know, all the blood going in people's mouths, that's all I can think of.
Oh, it's just God, like the diseases. Yeah. Ugh.
Disgusting.
I enjoy what they do with Noir in this show. He's not around much, but like the whole opening sequence of season two when he's just going around, you know, fucking up the, I don't know, Islamic terrorists. They don't specify where they are. And then he like plays with the little teddy bear with the kid and stuff like that. And the time when Homelander's like, you're killing it, Noir, and he's sitting there drawing like drafts or something. You know, it's just, I want to know what's going on under there, man.
I really liked seeing the flashback scene.
Yes, of the Iran-Contra stuff.
And it's kind of crazy that it all started with, like, you get to finally see Black Noir's face.
Yes.
And the reason why he's masked and silent. He wanted to be an out superhero. He's like, I don't want to
wear a helmet.
They made him wear a mask because the people in the South at that time wouldn't be okay with a black superhero. And then he just gets burned like crazy and loses his ability to talk. He gets
like half his face blown up. I'm not really sure what his powers are. Healing, I guess, because he's been blown up many times.
Can you heal? Would that be considered healing?
I think it's sort of Deadpool-esque in that it heals, but it's all fucking scarred and, you know, yeah. Doesn't heal right kind of thing.
Yeah.
Would be my sort of summation of his powers, I would guess.
Sorry, you said Deadpool. Now all I can think about is when his legs are...
His little tiny legs. His shirt cocking it.
Yeah.
So Butcher and Huey are holed up in a shitty motel with Soldier Boy. I'd love... what they're doing with Soldier Boy. He's Steve Rogers and the Winter Soldier. He's Steve Rogers if he becomes the Winter Soldier.
Oh, for sure.
Which is just an awesome dynamic. But he's Steve Rogers if Steve Rogers was an old racist drunk, which, considering he's from the 40s, he probably would be. Yeah. You know?
And didn't realize that everyone hated him.
Yeah.
What's that actor's name?
The actor's name is Jensen Ackles. He's basically been the star of Supernatural for the last 15 seasons.
I never
seen it.
My old roommate got like really into it. It was just kind of odd for me.
He's one of those sort of actors that's like big in, you know, genre fan community circles, but because he's been on the same TV show for 15 years, mm-hmm. he's never had time to do anything else. Mm-hmm. I think he's killing it. I mean, he really, you know, he's got the look and the voice that Steve Rogers, but again, with a big heaping dose of 40s era, you know, racism and disgust with anything.
The first thing he says to Grace is, you should smile more.
Yeah, it's like, so
nothing
great.
Nothing is more irritating when people tell it, when men tell you that.
Well, maybe you should smile.
Fuck yourself.
Meanwhile, you're grumpy all the time.
He's about to fire a fucking rocket at their ammo dump, you know? It's just not the best military strategy stuff. I will say, I think they're so the original team, Payback, what's another word for payback?
Mm-hmm.
Vengeance? Avengers, anyone? Like, that's the, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So
I didn't get that.
We're so slow.
Payback is another word for avenging. Avenging is another word for payback. So it's like, it's on the nose, but nah, it's just just clever enough that, you know, you kind of have to think about it for a second.
I'm going to go to my thesaurus.
Read me the definitions. As Soldier Boy snorts some bennies and talks about D-Day, Huey has some goo coming out of his ears. Like I said, side effects of the deal. I do love the bits. We'll just stay with all the hotel room scenes for now. Soldier Boy goes on a little riff about how Bill Cosby's America's dad.
Oh, my God.
And he used to make some strong drinks, and Huey's just like, holy fucking shit.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just thinking, oh, shit, they went there.
They went there.
I love how Huey's always the guy that has to stay behind and babysit these soups. Yep. Like, first it was with Lamplighter, and babysit him, and he's like, all you had to do was just watch porn with him. And it's like, well, that's
even with Translucent in season one, he's babysitting him in the cage for, like, the first three episodes.
Oh, shit, I forgot about Translucent. Yeah,
Translucent, man. So I just... this little, like, quick comedy that is just so... Yes, I know the Cosby case was a year ago or 2 years ago. Whatever,
no, it's actually very relevant right now because they just, last week or something, one of his victims finally won a case, proved that she had been assaulted at 16 years old at the Playboy Mansion by Cosby.
Jesus fucking Christ. But I just love that this show is not afraid to go there. Yeah. You know? I just think
no bets are off.
No, it's anything is fair game. So AKA Train confronts Ashley about Blue Hawk, and this is where she, Yeah, she's had this hair thing going, but in this one, she just rips out a chunk.
Oh my gosh.
Which is one of those like, oh God. But at the same time, it's like as soon as she does it, she's invigorated and she has the courage to like, I actually thought the performer did a great job in that scene where she's just like covering, you know, she's calling him. I mean, the first episode of the series, he blows through Robin, Huey's girlfriend. And she's just like, don't start.
Calls him out on his shit, which is what they all need. Yeah. And he's finally in a position where he could understand it.
And it actually worked. I mean, it put him in his place.
Ashley's an interesting character.
Very interesting.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I love her or hate her.
A little bit of both. I think she's maybe totally overused a little bit, is kind of the thing. There's too much Ashley.
Too much Ashley. And I'm just like, who? Why isn't one of these suits just blown her up?
Yeah.
That's my thought. What? Why? Is it because Homelander likes her?
No problem doing it to anybody else. Yeah. So
this bitch keeps telling me what to do.
Well, and it's like Stan Edgars was the only guy in the building that, you know, was smart and intelligent and can do this. And Ashley's a far cry from that. So it's Deep that tells Homelander that Black Noir is gone. And once again, great performance by Anthony Starr. He just cannot believe that Black Noir would betray him. It's like, no, he wouldn't do that. He couldn't do that. So Homelander sends the Deep up to Vermont. All the teams are kind of converging after these TNT twins.
And what's in Vermont?
Herogasm. 2022.
70th anniversary.
So this is where...
Started by brother and sister. Kind of weird.
Gross. It is so weird.
Actually, not started by Homelander.
It was started by
Soldier Boy. And Liberty.
Stormfront. He threw that in there and he was like, oh, I started with this like Spitfire Liberty. And then they're looking at him like,
oh, the Nazi we just defeated last season? Yeah. Okay.
But the fact that it's being hosted by brother and sister, like, that's so.
Pretty weird.
So you're saying,
especially because they seem to hate each other.
So you're saying you guys wouldn't host an orgy?
Absolutely.
I don't see that in our future. You know, hey, people, do what you do, but I don't want to be there.
It's not a thing. Yeah. I don't want to know about any of that happens.
It's weird though. It didn't even occur to me that this orgy was being hosted by a brother and a sister until
just now.
Until you mentioned it. Yeah. Sort of. I don't know. I guess it's like, man, all these soups are weird. So who knows.
We just kept telling that to each other. Everyone's got dicks out and boobs out, and
we do the same thing. Like, okay, so they're twins hosting an orgy. Like, that's fucking weird. Well, then we go back and we watch Friends, and you have to keep reminding yourself as you're watching Friends that Monica and Ross are brother and sister, and they have such a weird brother sister relationship.
Yes, yeah, they do.
It's very touchy feely.
It's very touchy feely.
Yeah. Though, you know, in this universe, we don't necessarily know that they're siblings. Yes, they're called the TNT twins.
They talked
twins.
About being in the womb together.
Yeah. Okay, I missed that. Okay. Never mind, forget that.
They definitely are.
You're wrong. They're together.
It would fit that, like, Vought is like, well, we need twins for the team. Oh, so you
yeah,
two,
that
you know,
would
but,
fit. But no, they actually talked about being in the womb together.
Okay, all right. Well, then, yes, absolutely disgusting and inappropriate.
Yeah.
But then we get the first Homelander has a conversation with himself in the mirror. Very Gollum from Lord of the Rings, also very reminiscent of Moon Knight.
Spider-Man.
I was thinking it was Green Goblin.
Yep, very much so in the mirror. Yep. I'm wondering, I don't think we've really gotten this. You know, I don't know if that was just sort of an artistic way of showing the conflict within Homelander, or if they're actually seeding like some like bipolar schizophrenia kind of stuff.
Yeah,
because there's the moment earlier when they're in the surveillance room and he kind of starts panicking about Soldier Boy, and then he like switches into the Homelander in the mirror and he's just like, I got this, I'll take care of it, you go do this, I'm going over here, kind of thing. So I'm wondering if they're that's actually where they're taking some of this. I don't know, that remains to be seen.
I just thought ugh, he put on a face for everybody. But in reality, it was, oh, no.
It could be as simple as the man in the mirror is the one he wants to be.
Yeah.
But the real guy is you know, he's nervous. I want them to love me.
Everybody love me. I don't know if I can beat him.
But this, of course, is, you know, where he's talking to himself, saying, oh, you're pure, clean, like marble. By the end of the episode, he's standing in the same position, looking at probably the first bruise he's ever had. Not so clean, pure marble anymore. We're shaking the foundations of this character, which I think it's definitely time for in this series. So the Deep is the first of our characters to arrive in Vermont at the TNT Twins' place. And, of course, he is pretty much forgets his mission as soon as he gets there. He's is like, this herogasm?
I thought it was a myth.
I just loved his reaction to that. Let's see. So then we go back to the tower. Homelander flips out on a morning show interviewer. Annie sits down. Then, of course, Victoria Newman comes in, asks for a little convo. And Vicky just lays all her cards on the table. I liked how she did. I was not thrilled with this actress for Newman in season two. I think she has stepped it up quite a bit as well. Mm-hmm. And she was really good in this scene where she's just like, oh, I mean, what'd you think? I was going to pop your head or something. And you see Annie switch like,
oh, she knows we know.
Oh, she knows we know.
And I was like thinking to myself, can you at least act a little bit? Like, oh, no, what are you talking about? Oh, no, she was just kind of went from, dude. Oh fuck!
Yeah, fuck yeah. She just Annie's over it. She's just I'm tired of playing games, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Which I like. But
I'm glad that she knew. Like, if we had to go another episode of Nadia not knowing, Huey, and everybody knows that she's Nadia.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, Nadia's Vicky's real name or whatever. Yeah. I forgot about Nadia.
Her name is Nadia.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that she knows, because I was like, she's not stupid,
right?
Yeah. And she, for him to be gone that long, they had to have known.
Yeah, I didn't want to see him play that, like, oh, sorry, I can't come to work today.
I broke my arm.
Much further, yeah. I would like to see her and Huey have some sort of conversation about mm-hmm. it eventually.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she instead of blowing up his head, just blows up his arm. Oh, now it really is broken.
Now it really is broken. That was interesting to see based on what we saw last year. It was just popping heads, but in the first episode,
it's whatever, like, she's looking at.
Kind of targeted. Yeah, she like blows his hand off, then half his face. And yeah.
That's why he kept like shoving her head so that she couldn't make eye contact with any part of him. But it's whatever she can see, she can blow up.
Which actually raises some questions in season two, like when the CIA lady's head gets blown off or whatever. Like, was Vicky in the...
She had binoculars.
Tower across the way, looking at her binoculars. What's the range on those towers?
That'd been pretty. Oh, I got these. I got a telescope here. I'm looking at you four towns over.
Or could you pull it up on Google Maps or something?
Can we FaceTime?
Yes.
Can we FaceTime?
Get a Ring camera over there, make it work.
Do you hear your FaceTime? I blew your face up. Like, is that how it works?
That's real FaceTime. I do love that Vicky leaves her with a bloody nose. She's like, you know, just a little subtle hint of her powers.
Scared.
And when Starlight lights up, she's just like, bitch, you can't do shit to me. Put that away. So
Starlight's powers are kind of like,
I don't understand what they are, because her little light blasts seem to hurt. But most of the time, at least through the first two seasons, it seemed like it was primarily just control of lights, not so much like this sort of laser blast. I'm also always a little bit confused about, like, do all soups in this universe have super strength? Because it kind of seems like it.
Yeah. Super strength and healing.
Like, regardless of what your other powers are, you can heal and you're strong. I'm not really sure about I guess Supersonic, the friend of Starlight that got his head bashed in episode 3 or whatever. Ooh,
that guy, Alex.
That looked gross.
Well, they were basically like, this guy's strong. I'm like, well, yeah, but aren't they all really strong? I don't know.
He died quicker than I thought.
I did too.
I thought he was going to at least hang out. I thought he was the one that would hang out majority of the season. Mm-hmm. And then die at the end.
But kind of powerful the way they ripped the rug out from under us with that, though, I think. Though I kind of would have liked to see that exchange or see it happen or something, rather than just Starlight like, oh shit, he's dead. So let's talk about Frenchie and Kimiko quickly. These two have never been like my favorite characters of the show. I think Frenchie was way overused in the first season, though I think Tomer Capone, the actor, does a pretty good job with it, especially in this episode, maybe his best work, just in terms of, I mean, they put his head in a fucking bike lock and, you know, basically
they're my favorites now, by the way.
Are they?
Frenchie and Kimiko, yes.
Based on this episode or this season, or
I think it was mainly this season.
I actually loved their sweet little moment last week. The kiss, the musical stuff, you know.
Oh, Justin walked out on that part. He hates when shows bring in musicals.
Yeah, I think it's so dumb.
I used to hate it.
It doesn't fit.
It worked in this case for me. Yeah. A lot of times it doesn't when it's just like, hey, The Flash is doing a musical this week. It's not great usually.
Yeah, we get it, Grant. You can sing.
Yeah, that's usually what it's about is like, hey, we've got some performers that could pull this off. So mm-hmm. let's do a musical episode. But it was a musical scene, not a musical episode, yeah. You know? So I thought all that worked.
It shows more of her personality and how she feels more comfortable in her personality.
It just felt strange to me this episode because it felt so tangential when all of our other characters are converging on the Herogasm in Vermont. Frenchie and Kimiko's story is very separate.
Like they got their own TV show.
Yeah, and it's
but
tied.
It's in the same show.
Well, and I guess it was episode, what, 4 when they had the thing that you never say on a TV show, which is one last job, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which made me feel like, oh, one of these two is going to die. Kind of surprised it didn't happen in this episode. I thought it was going to when the guy's punching Kimiko in her wound or whatever.
Ouch.
Yeah, that looked rough. Not a whole lot else to say. Very brutal fight scene. I don't need to see much more of this little Nina or whatever the villain's name is. I just it does not feel relevant to the story of Vought and the Seven and everything else. So I kind of hope they wrap that up, finish it up. I did like how they were all like, "Oh man, Frenchie is going to be so pissed. He's not a Herogasm. He's always wanted to be here."
Oh, I know that was funny. Yeah.
Which makes me question the like. To kill Supes or to fuck them or both? I don't
know. No, he's really into weird sex shit.
Yeah, because didn't you hear he was
in a polyamorous relationship.
Mm.
Little Nina used to do some weird, like, or not weird, how weird to my sex life, but like, you know, just really out there.
We don't
shit.
Kink shame around here.
So that's what they were saying is like, cause he's a freak. Like he loves all that sex shit. And that's what they were saying.
That's
you
right.
You would have loved that.
That's right. That makes more sense. It's just weird in contrast to like, well, if you hate soup so much, why would you want to go fuck them? I don't know. I guess I can
he
rationalize
wants to fuck
that too.
And then kill them.
It's a dom
or
sort
the
of
same,
thing.
Or at the same time.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. The crux of the whole scene was basically Kimiko kills this guy and realizes it's not the V that made me made her a killer. She always has been. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Whatever. don't really care, but that's all great. I think both of the actors are doing a great job, and they do bring a little bit of sweetness to the show, especially as Huey and Starlight are diverging.
Yeah.
So get it in there where we can. So in the car on the way to Vermont, MM tells Annie about how Soldier Boy killed his grandfather, and that was the start of his OCD. I really appreciate that. Someone who sort of verges on clinical OCD with mm-hmm. some of that stuff where I used to have to like hear my car horn honk 3 times mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. So I really appreciate what Laz Alonso is doing with all that. Not really sure. I mean, I know Mother's Milk and Annie, they had the road trip with Huey last year, but it just seems like weird all of a sudden that Annie and MM are a team and Huey's off.
I like their interaction.
I do too, but I
enjoy it.
I actually like their friendship.
Yeah.
Why haven't we had more of this?
Exactly. And that's one of the, back to Game of Thrones again, that's one of the best things that Game of Thrones started doing after season 3 and 4 is these characters that have been completely separated, you start mixing and matching the groups.
Right.
Some of the best parts about some of the Avengers universe that we talked about, like Captain America Civil War, you know, how is everybody going to pair up?
I didn't know how much we needed Thor and Guardians.
Yes,
you
exactly.
Know, came
exactly.
You're just like, oh no, we
or
need
Tony
it.
Stark and Doctor Strange, yeah. You know, exactly that. So they arrive at Herogasm, that's MM and Annie, greeted by Love Sausage from the asylum last season. I thought what is her name? Erin Moriarty, the girl that plays Annie, was showed some comedy chops in this scene. She's like, oh, what is this guy with you? He's like, oh, he's really good at cunnilingus. He just gobbles that vagina right up. Nom, 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 nom. That little twist. You can see somebody that wasn't comfortable with that delivering that line poorly, but I thought she nailed it. And then Butcher, Huey, and Soldier Boy show up, scoping the place out from outside. This is where we get the mention of Liberty. And then Huey teleports inside. I love that they are doing the can't take clothes with him when he teleports.
Oh, he teleports him naked into there. I was like, oh, that's a good touch.
Yeah.
I bet they did that and realized, oh, no, 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 no. He always has to teleport naked.
Yes. So yeah.
Let's go back.
That guy comes up to him and once like whispers something in his ear and he's like, oh, no, thanks. But like, thank you. But thank you.
I need to give my asshole a break. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I thought Jack Wade delivered that really well. Yeah. That was good.
Been there.
Also, you can kind of tell he's learning this because he seems to be carrying several extra pair of clothes around with him now in the back of his car. So, because you ain't going to need them. And I don't know. There's just something about seeing Jack Quaid walking around there just butt ass naked holding his cock. And, you know, it's not like I've got a long relationship, but I'm like, God, what do Dennis and Meg think about this? You know, but, I mean, hell, they're probably like, oh, look at his little tushy.
You know, you know what's interesting is when Huey went to the orphanage, the soup orphanage, there was a teleporting kid.
Oh, was there?
That that creepy one that came up and pointed at the screen or whatever. He was teleporting. He took his clothes with him when he teleported.
It's one of those, like, when the boys shows you that, it makes you think of, I don't know, Nightcrawler and the X-Men, other teleporters. And then you're like, well, yeah, they shouldn't be able to take their clothes with them, you know?
Yeah, because it's like, oh, so the molecules are going to attach to the clothes and then take it. Yeah,
I love that.
Well, it's like when Vision phases.
Kind of.
How can he phase with his clothes on?
Yes. Well, if his clothes are part of his... Yeah, I don't fucking know. When he's wearing his sweater vest, it shouldn't phase. Yeah. Yes, you're 100% correct on that.
Sorry, I cut you off. What were you saying?
No, I guess like that's why they all wear their superhero outfits 24/7
like all the time,
is because they are made to withstand their powers.
The little lady from The Incredibles needs to whip Huey up a teleporting suit or whatever.
Edna! Welcome, Edna! Edna! How you doing?
Edna, like Soldier Boy, not a fan of capes.
No capes. No capes. Capes are done.
Let's see. What else? So Starlight finds the Deep. Fucking an octopus? Getting oral from an octopus? I'm not sure where the octopus orifices are.
Orify? They are everywhere.
Okay.
So he hit all of the orify.
All of the orify?
Yeah.
I love Starlight takes some blackmail photos and the whole time Deep's like trying to get the octopus tentacles.
The octopus is essentially stroking his cheek.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it makes sense. Like Aquaman and Deep and Namor, like they have something. They love the sea and they love all the fish.
He has gills.
Well, he has gills. So he's not, it's not bestiality.
Yeah.
He's fucking his kind.
He does have gills. Yeah. When you put it that way. I mean, he has this like telepathic thing with him.
He can talk with them.
And it also hits on the sort of running joke back to Peacemaker, Aquaman fucking fish or whatever. Yeah. And they're like, no, our Aquaman actually does.
Namor is the one from the Marvel,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Which we may be getting in Black Panther. Still not sure about that, but that's been rumored. So yeah, this is where Huey runs into A-Train. I was actually like disappointed in Huey when he hauled off and punched A-Train after that heartfelt apology from him.
I didn't like that. Maybe that's part of the like the Compound V being
in. Yeah, it's part of the heel turn for sure.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
So Annie knows Homelander's coming, so she's trying to get everybody out of the way. Meanwhile, Soldier Boy walks in and Annie's like, oh, I got to stop him. So this is where Huey just grabs her and they both teleport out into the middle of the street, butt ass naked.
Yeah.
And she's just like, what the fuck? Which, by the way, I've just got to backtrack a little bit here. In the last episode, when Huey explains how he teleported, where he's like, yeah, I just knew how to do it. I just clenched my butt cheeks. Yeah.
I clenched my butt cheeks.
I clenched my butt cheeks.
And like I did it.
I said it so casually, too. Yeah. Like, I just clenched
my butt cheeks and I teleported. It's just great. So MM tries to confront Soldier Boy, but to no effect. This is where we get the ineffective smoke grenade. MM says, you killed my family. And he's just like, which one? I don't fucking remember you.
What a douche.
MM like raises his fist to square off, which is just like, what are you going to do? But then Butcher walks in and is like, oi, not him. And so Imim takes on superpowered Butcher instead and just starts breaking a baseball bat over him. I'm really, like, so far in the arc of the series so far, Imim has forgiven a lot. I don't see how they come back from
I don't think Butcher and Imim are going to be.
I don't see how that could happen.
I mean, it's got to be, it would have to be something like, I don't know, Ryan's death destroys Butcher and Imim's the bigger man kind of thing. But yeah, so then Soldier Boy goes upstairs looking for the twins. They blame it all on Black Noir, just as they're, you know, doing this whole, like, put a camera in a toilet. And, like, man, that was full asshole dick and balls on the screen there. That was a lot.
I know. I was like, that's such an interesting view that I've never seen before.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I've
never actually seen what that area that angle looks like.
First off, you both thought, interesting. That's interesting. I looked at it and was just like,
You looked at it and thought it was something else. I can't remember what you thought it was.
No, I said those were the balls. I just looked at it. I knew it was a toilet. I just looked at it thinking, the boys better not go there and show somebody poop.
I know.
Yeah, that would have been a line too far for
that's
me.
That's what you thought the balls were. You thought the balls pooping. Was poop coming out. And I was like, no, those are the balls.
I wanted to poop.
But then Soldier Boy hears this Russian tune on the radio and goes all... It's nine benign freight car.
Yeah.
He goes full Winter Soldier on him.
Freight car, that's all we remember.
Yeah, I was trying. I could only remember those three.
Yeah. Blacks out.
Which is a little weird because it's like, how often would you encounter the same, I don't know, maybe it's like a big Russian pop song or something, but how often would you encounter the same?
Like, why would it be at a Herogasm?
Yeah, I guess because Love Sausage is Russian. At least he's got the accent, maybe, but it's like anytime that song comes on,
it came on randomly on the street in
New York, yeah, which I don't know. I think they're setting
what's
up
the song. Yeah, Google that.
Something like, you know, what the Russians were trying to do was, you know, Manchurian Candidate kind of thing. You know, he gets in with the president and then hears the song and kills the president, something like that. I don't know if they'll actually explain it or not, but he seems to black out every time this happens. And there's also some question about how fast he can recharge that shit and how much choice he has in the matter. He certainly seemed to be able to control it with... Crimson Countess.
Yeah, the Crimson.
Last week. But that's the only time we've ever seen him use it at will.
Yeah.
Really. I guess maybe Kimiko, but you could kind of say that was just reflexive. He just woken up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting to see how those powers actually work. So Soldier Boy blows up the whole party. Love Sausage is now Burned Sausage. and he's just like got it all rolled up in his arms, carrying
poor
it
guy.
Around.
I mean, feel good.
Yikes, that's rough. Deep flees with his new octopus buddy.
Octopussy?
Yeah, there you go. Nailed it.
Damn.
And then A-Train finds Blue Hawk and fucking brutally drags him to his death and possibly his own. Do y'all think this is the end of A-Train? Lolly.
I hope not, because I like to see a character changing.
He's like almost a good guy now.
Yeah.
I actually,
and I think I liked, not that I liked the way that he killed him, but it was, they used to do that to black men in America. That was their punishment. So I thought that was very poignant to use it that way.
I did as well.
I don't think he's going to die. I actually think they're going to help him, and then his powers will be back.
Interesting. I hope so. I don't, they sort of put him on ice. What was it? Into season one, going into season two, when he first had his trouble and was in a coma for a while. I guess they could do something like that. But, you know, like we said, I really like seeing these alliances flip. I don't necessarily know that I'd see him allying with Huey, but, you know, it seemed a couple episodes like he was kind of joining up with Starlight and Supersonic until he fucked that whole thing up. But I just thought that was, I got a soft spot for the visualization of speedster powers.
Yeah.
And this is not one that you'll see on the CW Flash.
No, it is not. But he does have a point that if you run into somebody, you will kill them.
Yes.
So how the Flash hasn't done that to somebody, I think he's lying.
It's all right, and I don't want to think too hard about the speedster powers, but that's part of the thing with the Flash is like, it's not just you run fast, you have to be able to process
what's happening what's around you.
Ahead of you, what's coming.
Which he does, because they explain it to where everything it looks like it's going in slow motion.
Slow motion, yeah.
So
yeah.
That makes sense. So you do have to go around. And they talk about...
that scene in X-Men.
Yes, yeah,
yes. Exactly. And they talk about... in the later seasons of The Flash, it's all about phasing. Right. Oh, I can phase in and out of buildings and, you know, move your molecules. So I guess now I'm talking myself into he can avoid it. But when he's training in the beginning, he will be running through people and killing them.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Robin is the perfect evidence of that, mm-hmm. which, you know, that was the I was bought in from the on this show from that moment. And yeah. I was like, oh, fuck, I've never seen anything like that before.
And I also thought, but that also makes you think, dude, that's real. Like, if speedsters were real, yeah.
That would be happening all the time.
And the fact that it was a superhero high on drugs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's
running
just like,
something.
Oh, shit.
That's so true. If you had like this group of people that had all the power ever, they would not care about regular people. Huh. And they would be using their fame and power to just become worse.
Well, they are. So we see Termite get squashed like a bug as Homelander arrives. I kind of think the blast from Soldier Boy, he couldn't go big again or something. Because he's like, help me, help me. And then Homelander's just squashes him. Homelander comes downstairs and is disappointed to see Butcher and gives him a little laser blast to the eyes, knocks Butcher down. Of course, Homelander's thinking, well, he's dead because that's what happens when I shoot people with my eyes. Of course, setting up for the big comeback here in a moment. Soldier Boy seems like he's holding his own for a second. I thought this was the clumsiest part of the episode as the two of them start to fight and MM is waking up and he's like starting to draw his gun. And then Annie comes down and says, no, I need you. I need you. We've got to help these people.
Or like maybe just say, hey, that doesn't work on them.
Yeah. Like what's the
point? Why do people keep trying to shoot people?
Yeah. You know, it doesn't work when you shoot a soup.
And like you might say, well, earlier in the scene where he's like, I'm loading the gun, it's not for Homelander, implying it's for Butcher. Well, I don't think it's going to do shit on Butcher either in this state. Right. But it was just weird because the two soups start fighting and then you have this like kind of quiet dialogue scene with the kind of goofy like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh sound effects going on in the background. I just thought that was one of the like less seamless moments of the episode for me.
And I know Homelander, I don't think it showcased Soldier Boy's powers very well.
I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, if you, yeah, Steve Rogers is a badass, but if you put him up against Superman, he's probably going to get his ass beat. Mm-hmm. And there's actually moments in this episode where I think they were calling to Infinity War, moments where Soldier Boy sort of grabs both Homelander's arms, but then Homelander, like, boom, knocks him down. So it's that Steve Rogers, like, I can hold this guy for a second, but he is more powerful.
He is Thanos.
Yeah. I like when they squared off in the hallway before they even started fighting, and I just love Soldier Boy's, like, you think you look strong? You're wearing a cape.
Yeah.
You're just a cheap knockoff. And of course, he says, no, I'm the upgrade. But then I love...
That was a good line right before they go into their fight.
Oh, like, yeah.
No, I'm the upgrade.
I'm the upgrade.
It also speaks to, like, that's probably a term that he doesn't even understand.
Yes, probably. Mm-hmm. And he is the upgrade, though. I mean, he's stronger. Yeah. He can fly. He's got the laser blast, all that kind of stuff. And then Butcher comes in and blasts Homelander. And I, once again, love Anthony Starr's reaction. He's like, what the... What have you done? You know, he's like curious, interested, kind of scared, kind of panicked. And this Butcher versus Homelander fight, I love the way Carl Urban is playing it. Just the look in Butcher's eyes, he is loving actually being able to.
I'll go punch for punch with this bitch.
Which I have questions about because it seems like he's kind of got Homelander powers minus the flight.
Yep.
But at the same time, he kind of just got knocked out for a second. So
he can really just blast things with his eyes.
Yeah, and hard to...
Just like a superhero, he's got strength, but the strength is relative to other
suits. Yeah, and Homelander's still got him beat. Mm-hmm. I guess he's still maybe just a rung below Soldier Boy with some of that. But pretty comparable, it seems like.
And then I just like how in the fight... I like how in the fight... all of a sudden, Huey just jumps in.
Yeah, exactly. And I would never have thought in this show that Huey would be capable of a like, oh, fuck yeah, action moment. But mm-hmm. when he pops in there, you're like, fuck. And of course, butt ass naked. Yeah. And he's actually using it well. He's dodging the stuff, coming back and forth, and they're really all teaming up. I love the Soldier Boy grabbing the cape and slamming Homelander and throwing him up against the wall.
Did it? Was it better than the John Walker, Winter Soldier, and
Bucky
Bucky and Sam fight?
I think so. Maybe it's just because it's fresh.
I think recency bias.
Yeah, a little
I
bit still of think
the other
bias.
One was better, but that's not discrediting the boys. I thought the boys thought that fight was pretty good, but that one fight scene was
pretty good. The one in Falcon and Winter Soldier had a gravitas to it that this one lacked. I think this one was more pure, just fuck yeah, hit him, get him, you know, kind of stuff. Of course, Butcher and Homelander go, you know, eye blast to eye blast, you know, very our Vision versus White Vision and WandaVision, you know, who's laser blast.
Or very Superman Bizarro.
Yes, or I'll do you one better, Expelliarmus.
Oh, better Expelliarmus than Avacadava.
Who's gonna win the duel? And of course it's Homelander that overpowers it. I love when the three of them gang up on him and they're holding Homelander down. And Homelander is panicked for the first time. Mm-hmm. And he's just all just rage and screaming and everything. I just thought that was such a compelling moment. And, you know, Butcher assumes that the Soldier Boy blast will kill them all, tells Huey to go. And he was like, no fucking way. You know, and it was just like, these guys are committed. They are pot committed to taking this guy out. But of course, it takes a little bit too long for Soldier Boy to charge
up
his
thunk that?
Blast. Yeah. Yeah. Homelander's not going to die in episode 6. Let me just tell you that.
Season 3, episode 6. Yeah.
Season finale or nothing for that sort of monumental type stuff. But he gets just enough leverage to pull a White Vision and right through the ceiling. See you when we see you. Speaking of White Vision, where the fuck are you, man? What are you doing out there?
How can you have Wanda and not see Vision?
No mention of Vision.
One time. They mentioned him one time.
Yeah,
but we
Viz had some theories about the multiverse. Yeah, bullshit. Paul Bettany should have been in that movie. Anyway, back home at Vaught Tower, Homelander stares at his bruised face in the mirror. Obviously, he's pretty shaken up by all this. I mean, you really have to think this is like the first time in Homelander's life that he's ever had to fear loss, pain, someone beating him. I mean, I really took that as
opposition.
Yeah, like that. That's his first, the first bruise he's ever had in his life.
Yeah,
possibly
first fight he's ever like
could have lost,
or he did.
Yeah,
he ran away.
Yeah,
so
he ran away. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, he totally
he goes,
did.
Oh shit! But at the same time, I started thinking about this. Nobody's really gained up on him. All the soups, they never really gained up on him.
That's what I've wondered. You know, Maeve talked about it a lot in terms of like, well, maybe I could get a shot or two in, but, you know, I'm going, well, based on the strengths of all these, you know, Maeve, Black Noir, A-Train couldn't have taken him down, you know, the three of them together in their prime. I'm not saying right at this minute. But, yeah, it seems like if a Temp V, V-24, Butcher and Huey plus Soldier Boy could do it, then
they could have.
Maybe it's not as tough to at least pin him down as we think. Though I think some of that may just be Homelander's arrogance of walking into that situation in the first place, feeling like, well, pff, I mean, what am I? Am I going to run into people that can beat me? No, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
So interesting to see where they take all that. Pretty much wrapping things up here, Annie decides to, despite MM saying this is a bad idea, Annie tells the world the truth about Homelander as a psycho. Vaught is evil. And my name is Annie January and I fucking quit. That was odd timing. My name is Annie January and I fucking quit. What do you think about Annie January after 2.5 seasons of sort of playing along, playing the game, and then finally... You know, I guess you get the 200 million Instagram followers and you got more power than Vaught or, you know, what do you think?
Go ahead.
I'm proud of her.
I'm glad she got to that point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's good. I think she also understood that before she didn't have much weight behind her.
Yeah.
And
now she's got
there
that
wasn't
approval
a lot that she could do.
Yeah.
And she was also like coming into her own and getting, you know, getting the strength.
I guess if over the course of this season, both Homelander, the most like powerful being in the world, and Victoria Newman, the one of the most like politically powerful mm-hmm. figures in this show, are both like, hey, can I get a little bit of that mojo that you're getting, you know, share a little bit of that juice with me? Mm-hmm. You know, it tells you what power she's had when that's like, that's all these people care about is their Q rating, you know?
Yeah, and I think she just, it's a character arc. So she finally is just like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Like, I've done it.
Yeah.
I think I've seen
she's
enough.
She's no like, longer afraid of the consequences.
Yeah, she's like, this is what we have to do. And I think this is where, which you would think that this would bring her and Huey together. This is what's going to bring them apart, separate them.
Yeah.
They're going to go through some, I mean, all love stories have some breakup in some
I mean, they're
some
pretty
point.
Pretty firmly broken up mm-hmm. at the end of this episode with the fight in the street. But it's also like, right after that, she's doing the thing that he's kind of wanted her to do for yeah. 2.5 seasons, but been scared of her to do because of the whole, like, I got to save you and all that.
Which I don't understand. That also doesn't make sense to me of how all of a sudden now, like, it just seems like, oh, okay, so in the last couple months.
It didn't seem to be bothering you that
you're
much.
You're bothered by her being powerful.
It was like it didn't bother him until he had a taste of power himself.
Right.
And now the idea of sort of going back to.
The fact that she had to stand in front of him and threaten Homelander to protect him.
Yeah.
I think that was. Like his, I'm a man and I shouldn't need protecting by my woman yeah. kind of moment. And so, and then with him trying Compound V and all of that, he got lost. His journey has been to destroy these superheroes that killed someone he loved. But then he got caught up in his whole issue, his ego and all of that, and now he feels strength and he wants to chase that power. It's not about the overall fight
right.
anymore
right.
and she's only gotten more into that fight yeah.
focus yeah. like more focus no
yeah.
this is,
she's
this
like
is
no
what
we
it's all
have
about.
To bring Vought down, that's what it's about.
Yeah, it's not just about taking down Homelander.
Exactly.
It's the whole
Let's take down the whole thing.
Honey, if you want to step in front of me and protect me from Homelander, I'll be okay with that.
Okay.
I think you can take him.
I just didn't entirely buy his sort of freak out moment in the street where he's just, I have to save you. I'm going to save you. Like he's having this weird breakdown about it. Mm-hmm. And it's like all the rationalization makes sense. It just doesn't feel like where we
bullshit. Yeah. Like this isn't really about you wanting to save her. This is about you feeling like less of a man.
And we've already hit yeah. that nail on the head the last couple episodes with those exact lines. So like,
yeah,
Huey, she has told you don't say that shit again. Basically, yeah. like don't bring the I'll save you thing up. But
we also kind of knew. I mean, whenever there's a good dorky guy
mm-hmm.
in the beginning, and it's you know, we're already in season 4, that guy goes bad at yeah. some point in almost every show.
I
there's
just
that
think
some
his
character
actions,
arc where he goes too far
yeah.
to the bad side, and then boom, he's gonna yeah. come back because he's inside he's still a good man. So I do think that's where this is gonna lead us, but he's gotta go farther down.
Actions and stuff in this, especially in this last episode, are leading more toward he's not himself. He's an addict at this point.
Yeah. So with 2 episodes left, where do you think we go from here?
I like the idea, and I'm gonna predict this.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of next season Homelander is not gonna have any powers.
Yeah, I think they've got to do that if mm-hmm. they just kill him. It's a
and I think with that being said, I think he's gonna because he had moments. I think he's going to be a dad and try to teach Ryan how to use his powers. But because
I can see
if
him
you trying that, because he did recognize when him and Stormfront were there, like he did make some good dad moments. Like when everybody was at that, when they were going to the restaurant and everybody was, you know, trying to get autographs, he looked at his son.
Right.
Like, oh, all right, we're leaving. We can go. Like, this doesn't mean we can go. And at that point I was like, oh, I thought it was going to go a whole different direction, yeah. too. I was like, oh, okay.
I thought he was going to fucking laser blast the whole restaurant or something. Yeah. But.
And he's been recognizing that the way that he grew up, like his son deserves better or whatever. Yeah. So I could see him trying
it.
But yeah. Then ultimately he's going to choose what is most important to him, which is being loved by fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that would be a very compelling arc to have him at least completely depowered for part of next season. Mm-hmm. Maybe end of next season he gets his powers back or something. But mm-hmm. like, you've got to change the dynamic of the show. And I think that ties back into the Annie point of it all. You can't kind of just keep doing the, I'm going to try my best stuff. Like, it's time to put it out there and change the dynamic.
You yeah. know? So I think that's where it's going to go. I mean, how many times has Flash lost his speed?
Yes. You know what I mean? Exactly.
Like, every time he loses his speed, you're like, all right, how many episodes here did it take for him to get it fucking back? All right. Yeah. So I think that's going to, I mean, that's essentially going to happen. But crap, I had another point. What were you talking? Would you say before?
Well, just as far as changing the dynamic of the show, you know, it's time to mix things up a little bit and not just stick to the status quo. What do you think? Do you think Homelander's coming after Starlight? Annie?
No, I don't think so. He's
kind of too mixed up in his own shit right now.
Oh yeah, I knew what I was gonna say now. it actually ties in with this. He's not gonna do it because he's too affected by his image and the fucking points.
Yeah.
Like, also, this makes me never want to run for office.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh, always. Hey, what does the poll say? How many points am I up? Yeah. How many points?
How many likes? How many followers?
That would drive me nuts. Insane. Because I know if I did that, I would be like really like,
especially
I get so pissed. I'm down. Oh, okay, we got to get back up. How am I gonna do it?
Especially you know? The minutia of it, where they're like, oh, you lost 2 points in the Rust Belt. It's like, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Okay, whatever.
But because of that, I don't think he's going to go after Starlight because Starlight has approval ratings. Like that would plummet his campaign.
The best protection for Starlight at this point is just to keep her live stream on 24 hours a day because they won't kill her if they, you know, while she's in, you know, out there to her followers or whatever. And yeah, I think Homelander's going to be way too preoccupied with the Butcher and Soldier Boy of it all. Like he's not really going to give a fuck too much about what Starlight's doing here. All right, guys, any final thoughts on Herogasm? Yeah, we didn't really talk about any of the raunchiness. He got the big splooge and all that kind of stuff. But
did we talk about Ant-Man? Was his name
Termite?
Termite,
yeah,
going into the vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rubbed some of that off on.
I missed that. Oh. He was very wet.
He was very wet. fucking up MM's good jacket. Yeah.
But because it really wasn't that raunchy.
No, it wasn't. It was. I mean, like,
you saw some titties finally, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of nudity, but it wasn't like. It wasn't as extreme as I thought they would go with some of that stuff. You know, most of the soup's fucking, it's just like there's some sparks in the air or something, but you don't really see like a whole lot of crazy, like super-powered sex, really, I don't think, for the most part. Which is fine, since y'all mentioned that it's a twin brother and sister. So I feel kind of raunchy myself. All right, well, that's our show. Follow us at Spoiler Wars Pod. My name is Mason Fields. Until next time, stay spoilery, everybody.
Peace.
See ya.